pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Another time, the podcast where we talk about the science, culture, and history behind psychoactive drugs. Today is episode 31.
31.
Right?
Yep. Can we say why we didn't release one last week?
Yeah, so we have an episode ready. It's a video episode.
We're not going to release it.
We're not going to release it.
We're not going to release
Stuart it. Stuart has decided we're not going
to
release it.
We wanted to do a fun little video episode where we would eat spicy peppers, kind of like hot ones, and
talk about capsaicin.
Talk about capsaicin.
The active ingredient in spicy peppers.
Which is a psychoactive drug.
It is.
But it just didn't pan out. It was too spicy. I vomited. It was no fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think we might release it as special content for Patreons.
Yeah.
Or patrons when we eventually get that. Or like a pay thing. But I'm selling. My price is higher than free on that one.
Yeah. My mom watched it. And she said
she
half.
She watched it?
Yeah. And she said half of it was just you. As I left to go, like, puke and stuff.
Yeah.
Just sitting there with a glazed look on your face. Just sitting in silence.
Really?
Yes. And I watch it, too, and that is about half of it. You just sit there looking down.
I think I was just trying to beat the heat.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that long.
So if you want to see Randall sitting there in silence.
Okay, so that's pretty bad, I guess.
We could edit it. But even so, we couldn't get our camera to work, so we had to do it on my phone.
You got this nice camera.
Yeah.
It was a DSLR. But the memory card has to be a certain transfer rate.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Oh. But at that time, we were too drunk to go do
like
anything.
8 o'clock at night already, which is late for us.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why we don't have a new episode.
Sorry. But you know what? It's serialized well because this next episode is going to talk about DMT lore.
Oh, yeah.
So the previous episode was DMT.
That's right. It feels like ages ago.
Yeah, I know.
DMT is weeks. Everywhere. That's right.
Yeah. And then your little description.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too. But now we're going to talk about the subjective experience of DMT.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, DMT seems to stand out amongst the other psychedelics in terms of subjective experience. It seems to be way more... common? What is it? Like, shared experience?
Yeah, like... Yeah,
stereotyped?
Like, yeah, like all the experiences are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
And it seems to be, you know, more than any other psychedelic, experience of beings and entities.
Yes.
More than just pretty colors and I felt oneness with everything.
Right.
You actually get a being.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Drink corner. First, I have a orange vanilla LaCroix. It's been on the pot. Sorry, LaCroix.
Blasphemy.
No, LaCroix is terrible. A polar.
Polar.
Seltzer.
It's all about that polar.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Orange vanilla, really good.
Yeah.
That's
like my dessert seltzer.
Yeah, this is
it's
a dessert seltzer. This is a dessert seltzer, everyone. But yeah, we've already tasted it, so
it's good. I have, this might have been on the podcast before, a Michelob Ultra.
Wow.
The superior.
I thought it was Michelob.
Beer. No, it has a B.
But that looks like an L and an O.
Oh, no, it's Michelob.
It's not Michelolo.
Michelolo, no, or Michelou.
Michelob?
Yeah, look, L-O-B.
Michelob.
Yeah, Michelob.
Michelob.
Ultra, it's 2.6 carbs, 95 calories.
Wow. Sure it's on a diet. Just kidding. I'm on a diet, though.
Yeah.
Wow, that's bad.
It is really bad.
That's really bad.
Why do you say that?
It's so watery.
Really, even for you?
Yeah, even for me.
Yeah, it is
like
watery.
Like a Pabst does circles around this.
So I think we might have had this before, and we agreed it's kind of like a beer-flavored LaCroix. Beer-flavored
Polar.
Yeah, it's just a hint of beer.
Wow.
And it's kind of trashy beer. It's like...
Wow, it's got a weird sweetness.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a weird bitterness for such a light beer at the end.
And almost kind of like a skunky, like the sweetness is like an overripe fruit.
Why did you get that?
Sophie bought a bunch of them, and I brought them over here like a month ago and left one in your fridge.
Oh, I thought that was Patrick's.
No, it was mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, so we're going to start.
You've been having too much craft beer.
Me?
Yeah, if you think this is light.
That's very light.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the wrong article. Okay, so we're going to start talking about the kind of the article that started it all. We're going to talk about Rick Strassman. Rick J. Strassman, he is at the University of Mexico, and he has an MD in psychiatry, and he has kind of dedicated his life to looking at DMT, or at least recently. Wow, that's crazy. And he was the Netflix guy that wrote the book DMT, the Spirit Molecule.
Oh, that's this guy.
Yeah, it's this guy. So, and now it's a documentary on Netflix, or I don't know if it's a documentary.
It's I think it is.
Or it's on Netflix.
Is that the one where all the celebrities are talking about it?
I'm not sure.
Or is that
probably
the acid one?
I don't know.
I haven't seen either of them.
But anyways, I'm going to talk about a little bit. This is a paper published in the Archives of General Psychiatry.
Is he still with us, this guy?
He is.
Okay.
He's still at the University of Mexico.
Okay.
So, titled, Dose Response Study of N,N-Dimethyltryptamine in Humans. 2. I guess there's a 1, but I didn't want to look at it, because this is the subjective effects and preliminary results of a new rating scale. So I just wanted to kind of get us into, this has a lot of quotes of people in a controlled environment that got actual DMT that we know for sure was DMT.
Okay.
So, a lot of trip reports, they'd be like,
how do they do this test if it's illegal?
So back in 2000, they managed to do it.
Really?
This is funded
in Mexico?
New Mexico.
States? Oh, New Mexico.
This is funded by the federal government.
So he's at the University of New Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, you were saying Mexico.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Yeah. Sorry. University of New Mexico.
Okay, okay. I was like, a guy named Rick Strassman at the University of Mexico.
Whoops. University of New Mexico.
Okay, okay.
Or is it Mexico?
That'd be weird. University of Mexico. We don't have a university.
It's New Mexico.
Okay. Not usually.
University of
whole
United
countries.
States.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm in the University of Canada. Okay, New
I
Mexico.
Graduated from the University of Canada.
It's like, what?
That's funny. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
It's funded by the federal government. Let me go down here.
So you're telling me that I could have smoked DMT in 2000?
Yeah, I don't think it was illegalized until recently.
Where?
Well, pretty recently.
Huh. What's its schedule?
It's 1 now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But, yeah. Accepted for publication January 25th, 1993.
Oh.
Took them 5 years. Well, it took them, till 2000 to publish.
Oh. Oh, wow. What took?
I don't know.
Too busy doing DMT?
I guess so. He did do a lot of DMT.
Did he really?
I don't know. Investigation was supported by a grant RO3. You remember I told you about RO1s? It's a federal
It's
a federal grant.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
RO3
wow.
from the NIDA. So wow. National Institute on Drug Abuse. And then some other funding from New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a controlled IV injection. So
wow.
You know how much you're getting.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the differences of last week of IV versus smoking versus, what was the last one, sniffing it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say IV, you will achieve probably just as much of a plasma level amount of drug in your brain, but it'll take a little bit longer. But with DMT, it's quick. It's 30 seconds.
Even through IV?
Even through IV.
Crazy.
So.
Wow.
Intravenous. So for 0.04, which would be the placebo, and 0.4 milligrams per kilogram of intravenous dimethyltryptamine fumarate.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, he gave him this, and this is 11 experienced hallucinogen users.
Okay.
So it's unethical to use people that haven't done it before.
Mm, makes sense. That'd be scary.
Mm-hmm. But, so I wanted to, so DMT was infused over 30 seconds, and the IV tube was flushed with sterile saline for an additional 15 seconds. I would like to talk about, there's some of the quotes. So, visual imagery predominated in all subjects. At this dose, there was little difference between what was seen with eyes opened or closed.
God, that's so strange.
So that happened. Examples of this phenomena included the following comments. I tried closing my eyes, but I saw the same thing with my eyes closed as I did with them open. The visions were so real. I had to open my eyes to reorient.
Mm.
You have to open your eyes to reorient.
Wow.
Yeah. When I did, the visions were overlaid on top of you. I closed my eyes, and that removed the interference with what I was seeing. Visual imagery included concrete, formed, more or less recognizable visual images. These were both familiar and novel, such as a fantastic bird, and these are in quotes, a tree of life and knowledge, a ballroom with crystal chandeliers, human and alien figures, such as a little round creature with one big eye and one small eye, or nearly invisible feet.
Nearly invisible feet? What does that mean?
I don't know.
How can it be nearly invisible?
I love this article because it's science, but then it's just people tripping and just, like, saying crazy shit.
Nearly invisible.
But,
like, they're, like
transparent, I would imagine.
Okay.
Like, they're opacity.
Who's got ghost feet? Okay.
Nearly invisible. The inside of computers, boards, ducks, DNA
ducks?
Double
ducks. Like, quack, quack?
No, like, CK.
Oh. CT. Okay.
Yeah. CK. That's the ducks. That's ducks.
That's the quacky one. Okay.
DNA double helixes. A pulsating invisible diaphragm.
This is the same person that saw all this
stuff?
No,
these are separate people, I think. A spinning golden disc. A huge fly eye bouncing in front of my face. Tunnels and stairways. Many subjects described kaleidoscopic geometric patterns that were not obviously representational. For example, beautiful, colorful pink cobwebs and an elongation of light.
Mm.
So all the intricate, tiny geometric colors. So all that is what I have heard be synonymous with classical hallucinogenic experiences, like LSD. Like these geometric, intricate
shapes,
structures.
Patterns.
But this other stuff, where it's like clear things,
right,
is new.
That is, I'm curious what would happen. So you said all these people were experienced. Like, what would happen with someone who has never heard of it?
Right.
Because I almost wonder if your preconception of it,
I know,
kind of taints what you're gonna see.
Yeah.
You know, so someone going in, it would be unethical, but someone mm-hmm. going in totally blind, I wonder what they'd see.
Yeah, and I think this is something that I'd like to, once we're all finished, kind of go back to.
Uh-huh.
Is this idea of, like, how much is this, like, just you're primed?
Right, that's the one I was looking for,
Or is it just part of the experience alone?
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that'll be like the
we'll
second
discuss.
Half. Yeah.
Second act?
Second half.
Oh.
Second act. It's a performance, Stuart.
What a brief intermission.
Yeah. Auditory effects were noted in about half the subjects. They were not formed, music, or videos, but they were usually high-pitched, whining, whirling, chattering, crinkling, crunching. Hmm. Or at times comical, such as boing and sproing.
That is comical.
Yeah, comical.
Boing, how funny.
Boing. Sounds heard in cartoons.
Okay.
Boing. He's calls this somathesia, which I think is stimulation of the body or different feelings in the body.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that. Most describe the high dose as exciting, euphoric, and highly positively charged. I feel great, like I had a revelation or something. These qualities were often associated with visual hallucinatory display. The bird and I just flew. Wings. Ah. It was slow, majestic, grand, slow and lovely.
Mm.
So much beauty, so much richness. It was not unusual for subjects to describe extremely different emotional reactions alternating with each other or existing simultaneously, such as fear and euphoria, anxiety and relaxation. So these duality states of emotion, which is really cool when you think about what emotion.
Yeah, that's like, strange.
That we experience them usually one at a time. We label it, say, this is the state I'm in. If psychedelics are something that could be therapeutic that we know, what mechanism? Maybe mixing of emotions.
Right.
Able to express dualities in emotions allows you to deal with them better.
That's true.
Hey, I'm anxious, but I'm also excited.
Right.
And you should know those are two things.
Right.
They can exist at the same time.
And probably trying to shift, I often think of people with PTSD, trying to kind of shift the emotions that of things that might be a trigger for your PTSD away from just a negative thing to trying to...
Yeah, be like, this is what happened, but also it made me grow. Or, you know, like being able to do these perspectives. I can't speak for someone with PTSD, but... Yeah, it's bad, right?
Yeah, it's almost worse than that Sing Tao one.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
It was bad.
Oh!
That was the one.
No, I remember it. This is worse.
Yes, it's worse.
My opinion. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
The Michelob.
Michelob.
I almost said Michelotto.
Michelotto.
Isn't that a thing? Michelotto?
Yeah. Okay. Or Michelotta.
Okay. Not much to say about cognition. It's not really like... that crazy. This is interesting. Many subjects refer to a sense of an other intelligence present within the hallucinatory state. This was usually described as a supra-intelligent but emotionally detached. They were aware of me but not particularly concerned. It was like what a parent would feel like looking into a playpen of his one-year-old laying there.
That's strange.
Or it was business as usual for them. There was a lot to do. Others had a clear view of alien beings. The elves were prankish and ornery. Sorry, ornery. Every time I read that word.
Horny? Ornery.
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 Or ornery.
As a Frenchman is ornery. They were ornery.
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 Ornery. I say ornery.
That's not right.
Oh, well... clearly, because I see the ornery.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I have to look at it.
Ornery.
Ornery.
The elves were ornery.
Okay, the elves were prankish and ornery.
There you go.
Ornery.
No.
Ornery.
Doesn't ornery mean, like, grumpy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they wanted to prank and they were grumpy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're just kind of mischievous little elves.
Okay.
Yeah. They were about my height and held up placards showing me this incredibly beautiful, complex, swirling, geometric stuff.
What's a placard?
Like a little sign. Like, check this out. And just been away.
These grumpy little elves showing you trippy signs. Are these like Keebler elves or are these like about Lord of the Rings elves?
About their height.
I don't know how tall he is.
Well, I imagine he's
an average guy?
I imagine he's an average height.
Okay, so these are like not.
So, I don't know why they're called elves. If they're, like, not tiny.
Well, like, elves like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, these are Lord of the Ring elves.
Regal elves.
Oh, so, like,
high
majestic beings.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, not little Santas.
They're not, like, Keebler elves.
That's what I imagine.
The little cookies.
Little mischievous, grumpy.
Yeah, like, holding up tripping signs. So, these are, like, higher being.
Okay.
Like, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to download this, but I couldn't because I highlighted the other article, what I wanted to touch on. This one I didn't. I couldn't. They get a PDF.
Yeah, I'll just fill the space. I'm going to smell this spiced apple toddy candle. It smells pretty good. Apple-y.
You know what? I think that's all I have from this study.
Oh, cool.
But I wanted to just get into some like legitimate people that took DMT in a semi-controlled study,
which there's probably very few because
it's few
status.
Yeah, so this is one of the few. But this kind of, and I said it once now, but elves, and this kind of sets the stage for, you know, I want to start talking about this other being thing.
Yeah,
so we'll get into that.
I have some ideas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to switch to an interview with Strassman real quick.
Okay.
So volunteers, this is about after his paper, you know. Volunteers' awareness then entered into a world of light, consisting of more saturated, intense colors than any seen in everyday reality. The rapid, swirling, kaleidoscopic display of colors usually coalesced into a recognizable objects. More than half of the volunteers at higher doses of drug described these objects as beings that were sentient, aware, powerful, oftentimes expecting them, with whom they interacted verbally, telepathically, and who sometimes modified them physically, psychologically, and or spiritually. In addition to the highly interactive, content-filled nature of the DMT world, volunteers also usually return with an unshakable conviction that what they had just witnessed was as real, if not more real, than everyday reality.
That's crazy.
In addition to... Oh, I just copied and pasted it twice. Sorry.
Read it again.
But yeah, so
There's
this idea of what people will call DMT world or DMT space.
Yeah.
Where it literally is another DMT reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a higher and more real reality than what we're experiencing now.
Mm-hmm.
Where these elves or beings seem these to rest.
Henri's.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah.
Henri.
That's, yeah.
If you're a religious person. Okay, now we're going to McKenna. This is Terrence McKenna, famous author, really kind of the leader of the second wave of psychedelics, you know, a modern Timothy Leary until he died in the 2000s, I think. Late, or maybe 1999.
I think it was like 2000.
2000.
Yeah.
Like you know, Food of the Gods is one of his books. Honestly, he's pretty wordy to me.
Did he have any, like, credentials?
No. He's not just... that I know of. His brother is Dennis McKenna is a avid psychedelic researcher and he has a PhD, but Terrence is an author as far as I know.
He had a BSc in ecology, resource conservation, and shamanism from the University of California.
That's
Berkeley.
An interesting mix.
Yeah.
Berkeley, what are you doing? Of course he is. Okay, so this is the first time that. Tennis Medina. Terrence McKenna was one of the first.
Tennis.
He coined the term.
Tennis. What up, Tennis?
He coined the first term of machine elves.
Oh.
So machine elves.
Did he do DMT himself?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he talks about it constantly.
Oh really?
Doing DMT.
Okay.
Yeah. So, also known as fractal elves. Self-transforming elf machines, or simply Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Like Jenny?
Yeah.
You just call them Jenny?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Apparently. It's a term... This is not like... Yeah. Is a term coined by late ethnobiologist and writer, philosopher, Terrence McKenna. Okay. So...
Jenny.
So... This is according to McKenna now. This is McKenna speaking. Mm-hmm. At about minute one or two of a DMT trip, one may burst through a chrysanthemum-like mandala and find there's a whole bunch of entities waiting on the other side, saying, "How wonderful that you're here. You come so rarely. We're so delighted to see you." They're like jeweled, self-dribbling basketballs. And there are many of them, and they come pounding toward you, and they will stop in front of you and vibrate.
Hmm.
But then they do a very disconcerting thing, which is they jump onto your body, and then they jump back and out again, and the whole thing is going on in high-speed mode where they're... goddamn. Where you're being presented with thousands of details per second, and you can't get a hold of them.
Hmm.
And these things are saying, don't give in to astonishment, which is exactly what you want to do. You want to go nuts with how crazy this is, and then they say, don't do that. Pay attention to what we're doing. And what we're doing is making objects with their voices. Wow. Singing structures into existence.
Wow. All right.
But if someone was trying to describe something unfathomable, wouldn't it sound this crazy?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Is a higher reality, by definition, has to be something we can't fundamentally understand.
And imagine trying to describe, like, a tree to your dog. You have to use...
Yeah, the insane things.
Yeah.
it's like a bone, but yeah. It grows. I know you don't know what language is. It's okay. So don't do that. Pay attention to what you're doing. They're making these structures with their voices. They offer things to you, saying, "Look at this. Look at this." As your attention goes toward these objects, you realize that what you're being shown is impossible. It's not simply intricate, beautiful, and hard to manufacture. It's impossible to make these things. The nearest analogy would be the Fabergé eggs, but these things are like toys that are scattered through the nursery inside a UFO of celestial toys, and the toys themselves appear to be somehow alive and can sing other objects into existence. So what's happening in this proliferation of elf gifts, which are moving around singing, and they are saying, "Do what we are doing," and they are very insistent, and they say, "Do it, do it, do it," and you feel like you have a bubble inside your body beginning to move up and towards your mouth, and when it comes out, it isn't sound, it's vision. You discover that you can pump stuff out of your mouth by singing, and they're urging you to do this. They say, that's it, keep doing it.
Do you think he's actually singing, like, in real life? Laying there tripping out? Oh, he's singing again.
Right. Yeah, just Terrence is having a trip. That's what he does on DMT.
He's singing things into
existence. Yeah. The machines I was singing to.
I wonder.
That's it. Keep going. We're now at minute 4.5 of the trip, and you speak in kind of, I don't know what this is, kind of glossolalia. It's a beautiful word.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
But glossolalia, yep. There is a spontaneous outpouring of syntax unaccompanied by what is normally called meaning. After a minute or so of this, the whole thing begins to collapse on itself, and then they begin to physically move away from you. Usually their final shot is that they wave goodbye and say, deja vu, deja vu. This concept may be related to a tendency of the brain to imagine living entities during certain altered states. The best example of this is extremely common feeling of living presence during sleep paralysis, which is theorized, blah, 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 blah. So, there's Terrence McKenna's DMT good. Trip. Not bad, right?
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Glossolalia is like speaking in tongues.
Wow. Sounds like you're speaking in tongues when you say glossolalia. What'd you say? So, let's see. Terrence McKenna and Rick Strassman have both asserted the sense of reality of the experience and distinct from ordinary hallucinatory experiences, leading both researchers to speculate that perhaps the physics of many worlds is involved. Jacques Vallée has proposed that the entities met may be of interdimensional nature in his interdimensional hypothesis. Look up that. I don't know. Don't know what it is, but okay. Moving on. You seem like you're in thought. You have anything to say? Or
no, I'll wait till we open up the floor.
Open up the floor for a discussion. Furthermore, Dr. Jennifer A. Like recorded, this was a transcript I pulled from a recording of the Society of Scientific Exploration conference in Boulder, Colorado in 2016. So pretty recent.
Very recent.
Encounters with entities are one of the defining characteristics of the DMT breakthrough. And I want to talk about this breakthrough. So you can take DMT and, you know, Terrence said at the beginning, you have a chrysanthemum-like kaleidoscopic, what I would think would be what I've heard is the acid trip.
Right.
Know, very pretty images.
Right.
Very, you know.
Right. But just your reality distorted.
Yes. And then there is this, like, no turning back point. A breakthrough. Where it shatters this membrane and you go into the DMT hyperspace. So.
Do people call a DMT trip, or would they consider it an ego death? Like, do you think Terrence McKenna there can still be like, "I'm still Terrence"?
So, I don't know in that particular one, but I've read here that a lot of times you do have an ego death, your pure consciousness, but a lot of times it does seem to be that you are an observer, and they are observing you.
Right.
And so you have to have some locus.
Yeah,
I don't think it maybe is binded into the physical reality anymore.
I see. Does DMT have like a plateau where if you took, you know, once you take a certain amount, it doesn't matter if you take more to make the experience more intense?
I don't know that for sure, but yeah, I think there's a certain, basically like there's a full trip, right. And any more really doesn't do much,
okay.
Besides physical, like bad effects.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think that honestly is true with most drugs.
Yeah.
I think there's a full saturation of receptors that you can have.
Right.
There's an absolute limit right, to true, how much huh? neurotransmitter you can release, and so even if you have more drug.
Right.
Your machinery only allows so right. much. So
that's
there's an absolute limit to all of this. Granted, the 5-HT2A receptor, we may only occupy but 0.01%
mm-hmm.
in our daily lives.
Right.
DMT does 50%, and if you do 100%, right. we're knows? Now higher beings ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe that's what these beings are saying.
Right. So, oh, I love it.
Mm.
Okay. Going on. So, encounters with entities are one of the defining characters of the DMT breakthrough experience. Several authors have described general categories of entities that are frequently encountered, including the influence of hallucinogens, under the influence of hallucinogens. Luke, 2011, Shannon, 2002. So these are papers.
Okay.
And Terrence McKenna popularized the self-transforming machine elves
okay.
as one of the hallmarks specifically associated with DMT. 1982, McKenna. However, today...
too. That's old.
Yeah, when he coined the term, it was old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did we talk about when people first started smoking DMT and stuff? Like, when was that?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
However, to date, there are very few empirical investigations of the characteristics of DMT entities or their interactions with DMT users. Accordingly, this study investigated the frequency with which DMT users experience various categories of entities and the nature of the interactions users have with these entities during the drug experience. Wow, papers just really need to cut down on their words.
It's like they're trying to fit a quota.
I know, they are. Content analysis was performed on 149 trip reports.
Wow.
From Arrowhead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 2006 to 2015.
Okay.
By DMT users.
Okay.
So, 90% male, average age 24.6. In order to characterize users' descriptions of the entities as well as the nature of their interactions with them. Entities were defined as elements of the experience that appeared to the DMT user to possess independent awareness. Okay.
Okay.
75% of reports include description of at least one form of entity, and 37% describe more than one entity. So, 75% entities.
Wow.
That's high.
That's really high.
So, the general categories of the entities that emerged were poorly defined or formless beings, 29%, humanoid beings, 22%, divine beings, 10%, which I don't know what that is, aliens, 8%, elves and fairies, 7%. Animals, 6%. Geometric objects or machines, 6%. Voices, 4%. Faces, 4%. Miscellaneous entities and other things,
3%. What was the highest?
29%. Poorly defined or formless beings.
Huh. Okay.
So you know it's attached to something.
Right.
But it has no shape
right,
or form.
Right, almost just like an aura or a feeling,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
I would guess a feeling, and then that feeling... needs your visual system has to make something for it,
right?
Because it doesn't know what
right,
to
right.
deal with. The gender of entities also emerges as an important characteristic. It was specifically mentioned in 24% of the descriptions of entities. Male participants were significantly more likely to report the gender of entities that were female participants, and significantly more likely to report the gender of entities than were female participants. So males were more descriptive in gender, I guess.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. The general nature of the participants' interactions with these entities was also explored. The categories of interactions that emerged were showing teaching, guidance, 25%. No interaction, 10%. Hostility, 10%. Warm or love, 9%. Welcome, excitement, 9%. Reassurance or encouragement, 8%. neutrality or observation, 7. Play and entertainment, 4. Power or control, 3. Sexuality, 3. Unclear interactions, 3. Questioning, 3. Reminding, 2. Miscellaneous interactions that did not fit other categories, 2.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
25%, these things were teaching and guiding them or showing them something.
Hmm.
Very strange. blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's all I got for that. I just wanted some stats from a large sample.
Yeah.
Now, if you think that's large, here we go. The last article published in, I believe, May of 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Very recent.
I'm up on it.
Oh, dang.
By our friend, Roland Griffiths. He's a fantastic researcher. He's one of the leading guys in psychedelic research right now.
Okay.
So this is a paper called Survey of Entity Encounter Experienced Occasioned by Inhaled N,N-dimethyltryptamine, Phenomenology, Interpretation, and Enduring Effects. This is published in 2020 in the Journal of Psychopharmacology by Alan K. Davis, Roland R. Griffiths. Some people in between. I just named the first and last author. Per science. Okay. Some highlighted things. One recent study provided detailed... Sorry, I want to pick the abstract here and tell you... So, methods. I just wanted to give you... 2,561 individuals took this survey that had taken DMT.
Okay.
So this is a this is a huge sample, biggest to date. Mean age 32, 77% male. They completed an online survey about the single most memorable entity encounter after taking DMT. So, okay. One recent study provided details of experiences of 606 individuals who reported experience of an encounter with God, ultimate reality, higher power, or an emissary of God after using or smoked vaporized DMT. This is by Griffiths as well. Mm-hmm. Griffiths et al., 2019. So he recently published. This is probably a paper right after that.
Okay.
They probably go pretty hand in hand. But among the most vivid, intriguing, memorable, and sometimes disconcerting experiences that people report after taking a high dose of an inhaled or IV DMT are those of encountering seemingly autonomous entities or beings. Luke 2011, Luke and Powers 2018, Meyer, Strassman, goes on and on. Although description of the nature of the entities, details of the experiences and meaning attributed to the experiences vary widely. Such experiences are apparently not infrequent. And then this just kind of setting up that their study is going to try to do a very large scale and try to characterize it. So... some more stats. I think it's kind of fun.
I like
this
these.
Many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to nail home the point that, like, this does seem to be stereotypical. Like, mm-hmm. it has an MO.
Mm-hmm. And there's some shared
yeah. thing. And it's weird that this doesn't come up being wise in LSD.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just never hit that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if all psychedelics can get you there.
Right.
But anyways, we'll go on some more. So respondents, these are just like a table. So they had the intention of having an encounter experiment. So we need to 21% of respondents went into the experiment having the intention. So like these are probably people that was like, have you tried DMT
right.
before? No, I hear you see things. And then they do DMT,
right.
and they have that thought that they're right. going to see something. So 21%. So that kind of gets at your question.
Right.
Again, it's a survey, but if only 21% said like they were planning on it,
right?
It's a good.
I don't wonder what percent of the people that were planning on it then saw
the beings. It's a good question. I'm sure they have it. Oh, with most 69% reporting that the entity initiated the encounter. Weird. So the primary senses involved in the encounter were visual, 92; extrasensory, telepathic, 85.
Mm.
Wow. 85%.
Wow.
Auditory, 54%, and touch, 34%.
Touch, that's 34%.
Weird. 34%.
Huh.
And 34% of 2,000?
Yeah,
you're
right.
up there. or 2,500 or something. Yeah. 10% reporting taste or smell, which is interesting. Whoa. I taste everything.
Wow, imagine that.
So most respondents indicated that some form of communication occurred. So I always have to, like, paranoidly check because I can't have the guitar thing up.
Make sure it's still recording. Yeah.
So I had to stop there.
Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero. Guitar Center. GarageBand. Guitar Center. Oh, man. Most respondents indicated that some form of communication occurred in the encounter, with 50% reporting the communication was one way, from entity to respondent, and 40% two-way. Very few respondents reported one way respondent to entity, 2%. So, variety of descriptive labels for the entity, the most commonly endorsed were being, 60%, guide, 43%, spirit, 39%, alien, 39%, or helper, 34%. Other labels, how's that possible?
Say that again.
Well, the percentages don't add up.
Say it again.
60% guide, sorry, 60 being, guide 43, spirit 39, you're already over 100% now.
Oh, you could have a bit of
multiple. Yeah. Okay. Alien 39 or helper 34.
Okay. You could have an alien helper guide.
Woo! Other labels selected by a small proportion of respondents range 10 to 16% included terms like angel, elf, religious personage, or plant spirit. Gnome, monster, or deceased were 1 to 5%. So kind of maybe a bad trip there. Most respondents reported having an emotional response to the experience. 99%.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right. Wow. Respondents reported experiencing joy, 65%. Trust, 63%. Surprise, 61%. Love, 59%. Kindness, 56%. Friendship, 48%. And fear, 41%. So there is clearly, again, that duality. Right. Fear, but love at the same time. And it really is, like, amazing to think about, like, we have all these words that we created for emotions,
yeah,
and these are making you feel all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Oh, this is interesting, Stuart. DMT encounter, entity encounter before the current experience. 33%. 46 DMT encounter after the current experience, 46%. DMT entity encountered either before or after the current experience, 56%. So I think this has to do with just repeat users.
Okay.
You know, how many times out of the times? If yes, number of times encountering entities after this experience. So, like, if you click yes, then you have to do this. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, from the current perspective, 3/4 of respondents reported that entity existed in some real but different dimension of reality, 49%, or in combination of some real but different dimension of reality and in normal everyday physical reality, 26%.
Can you say that again?
So, there's the, they exist purely in a different reality, 49%, and then there's that they exist in both worlds, both our reality and a higher reality. So these are trans-dimensional beings, 26%. A minority of... Do you want me to actually read it? Or
just, no, just okay. Go over this.
A minority of respondents, 9%, reported that the entity existed completely within myself. Only 9%. So this is like an out-of-body greater than you. And that entity existed only in normal reality. 1% of people said this was something... in our reality.
Wow.
Wow. Most respondents, 72%, again of 2,500, endorsed believing that the entity continued to exist after their encounter and that the experience altered the respondent's fundamental conception of reality.
Wow. 72%?
80%.
Oh, 80%?
So encounter, 72%, like it lasted.
Yeah.
Like that being lasted. 80%, it changed their fundamental concept of
Jesus
reality.
Christ. Wow.
What a...
Of 2,500 people.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Right? 60% of the whole sample indicated that the experience produced a desirable alteration in their conception of reality, whereas only 1% indicated an undesirable alteration.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, we're going to get into, like, what this means, but also, like, just medically, like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
If you can say that, this has the fundamental to change everything.
It's probably why it's Schedule 1.
Then you should, it's just, okay. When asked about attributes of the entity, a majority of the sample reported that the entity was conscious, 96%.
Wow.
Intelligent, 96. Benevolent, 78. Sacred, 70. Had agency in the world, 54.
Hmm.
And was positively judgmental, 52. Few reported the entity was, you know, other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Negative, blah, blah, blah. Malicious, 11. Just a ornery. Quick thing on religious, which I think is interesting. Ornery. Approximately one quarter of the sample reported that they were atheists, so 28%. Oh, wow. And one quarter reported they were agnostic, 27%.
So half were religious?
Apparently. Before the entity encounter, but significantly smaller proportion reported they were atheist or agnostic after the encounter.
Wow.
10% and 16%.
Wow.
So 10% from agnostic, it was 28 down to 10. And then for atheist, it was 28 down to 10%.
Whoa.
I believe in God now.
That's crazy.
And then from agnostic, 27 to 16%.
Wow.
So people, that's how fundamentally changing it is.
That is crazy. Gnarly. Wow.
Additionally, approximately one-third, 36% of respondents reported that before the encounter, their belief system included a belief in ultimate reality, higher power, God, or universal divinity, but a significantly larger percentage, 58%, afterwards.
Wow.
So there it is again.
Wow.
People that were already believed in this stuff, 36. Now it's 58.
Wow.
amazing.
Over
one half, ranging 54 to 65% of the sample, reported that the entity encounter was one of the top five or single most personally meaningful, spiritually significant, or psychologically insightful experiences of their lives.
Wow.
Approximately one-third, 32% reported that the encounter was one of the top five or single most psychologically challenging lifetime experiences.
Mm.
So this is not everything's hunky-dory.
Right, not just for fun, like, oh, cool.
This is a transformative thing.
Wow.
And that with that comes, you know, it's trauma unpleasant. Sometimes.
It's difficult, yeah. Wow.
Table 5 also shows respondents reporting persisting positive desirable changes that they attribute to the counter experience. So here's a little review of Table 5, including well-being and life satisfaction, 89% increase. Life's purpose, 82%. Life's meaning, 81%. Mm. Social relationships, 70. Attitudes of life, 88. Self, 84. Mood, 67%. Behavior, 71%. In contrast, only 1 to 5% of the sample reported any negative and undesirable changes in the above domains of functioning.
Wow.
This has the potential to heal people's lives.
Wow.
And we're just now in 2020 getting back into psychedelics. Mm-hmm. Blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in response to, you know, that we talked about that DMT hyperspace. So one of the questions I picked out, which I thought was interesting, the experience was more real than everyday waking consciousness. 81%.
Say yes. That their DMT trip was more real than just
waking
their day-to-day
consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
As it felt during the experience. Now, how does it feel now? 65%.
Okay.
So still,
yeah,
they believe that this is more real than reality.
Hmm.
So, you know, experience has altered your fundamental conception of reality, 80%.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's about, there's one more quote. So this is about the DMT space, right, that we just talked about. That here's a quote, that the reality I perceive is more like a hallucination, and that the true reality is better represented from the encounter with these beings. That the DMT reality is more real than the perceived world I inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
There was an indescribably powerful notion that this dimension in which the entity and I convened was infinitely more real than the consensus reality I usually inhabit.
Mm.
It felt truer than anything else I've ever experienced.
Wow.
All right, that's all I have for papers and everything. Let's open up the floor to discussion. What is going on
here? What's going on?
Is it real? Is this a drug or is this something else? Is this state people are reaching, maybe achieved by a drug, but this state,
mm-hmm.
something outside of this reality? Something that, what does this mean in terms of other beings? What does this mean in terms of physics? How does this fold into the universe?
Mm-hmm.
We can't be alone. Seems infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Is this how we transfer dimensions?
And consciousness. Like, consciousness. What if it's just kind of bumping your consciousness?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not, your consciousness isn't necessarily a physical thing.
Right. What if it lives in non-overlapping domains, mm-hmm. universes, and this can shift it slightly or rotate it,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden now you're in another world, and it's by consciousness that drives this, not physical
reality. Or what if it's removing some type of filter that's usually there?
What if this is always going on?
Yeah,
yes, this higher reality and this dream, this hallucination we're having right now,
mm-hmm.
is the best we can muster, but it's not true. Whew, so many questions.
Well, can I tell you my hypothesis? Of
course, you're telling the world.
Tell the world.
24 listeners or something.
My hypothesis, because I'm kind of a skeptical person about these kind of things, so I like to think, like, what's the rational?
Sure, what's, Occam's razor kind of thing.
So I like to think that all of humans have a certain part of the brain that's shared, you know, like our lizard brain maybe, that developmentally we all have it. And it's all pretty much the same because it's so simple.
Sure.
And I'm wondering...
Yeah, that'd be your midbrain, none of your cortex.
Right. And I'm wondering if this is somehow just activating parts of that or making you see parts of that where it's like, we all have this. And that would explain why it's all the same. Because what if, you know, we all have the same part of our brain? So it's... And then part of it is going into it with a preconceived notion of what you're going to see. See, you know...
And then my first question is like, well, how does this explain what they're seeing?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess your answer, correct me if I'm wrong here, would be that this is a more primitive, more unfathomable experience. Mm-hmm. And what makes it weird and you know, these elves, these higher beings, this idea of future, mm-hmm. multiple universes, is simply our cortex trying to put meaning onto it,
mm-hmm.
trying to establish what this could possibly mean.
Right.
And the best thing it can come up with is fucking aliens.
Right. Right.
Because it can't figure it out.
Right.
That's one thing. Sure. Sure. There's definitely the science, the empirical thing to think about, I would think, is drugs manipulate
it's a powerful ability.
It's a powerful drug. It's making your normal priors of reality get dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it so your cortex has very difficult time ascribing reality
mm-hmm.
to our experience. Because mm-hmm. if you really think about it, reality itself is a mind fuck in its own thing.
It is right? A hallucination.
It is. And so this breaking that down could be the only thing that we can think of is something else that's unfathomable, like an infinite universe.
Mm-hmm.
The other side to it is this is reality,
mm-hmm.
and that is a distinct other reality, and it's allowing us to communicate.
Yeah, right, right. But then what about it is somehow... Like, it's still a drug you're taking. How is that drug making you see another reality?
Well, then I would maybe go into like the filter thing that we were talking mm-hmm. about. Maybe in order, mm-hmm. in order to see other realities, you have to have your priors and your perception, that filter, be removed.
Mm-hmm.
To experience it raw, it has to be removed. And the drug is removing that cognitive, like, organizer that mm-hmm. says, this is that, I know what this is, categorize, blah, blah, blah. And without it, you can actually experience for what it truly is.
Hmm.
And I am actually kind of in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, I don't know, both of these things, I think people kind of, you know, both of these things I think are like still perceptions of reality in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean that in a, like, I think it's hard for me to describe this, but a lot of people, I think, just, like, believe in heaven or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, this physical place. And I think, like, what's even crazier to think about is it's not a physical place.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, it is unlocked by our brains.
Right.
And these other realities are not physical places either. They're places that are different from how we can interpret. A different interpretation causes a different reality. And it's kind of this right. self-centered projection of reality.
Right.
Rather than concrete actual places.
Right.
That makes sense.
That does.
It's really, but like it's a crazy thing. And then if you think about it that way, then a drug really does make sense that it could do this. Because mm-hmm. these physics and everything is fundamentally tied to our thinky brain mm-hmm. that does all of it for mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, and I think that's something we were talking about a little while ago, is like reality that we see is all filtered through our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what would it be like if you could somehow not have your brain and experience, you know, whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, it sounds like what people are describing,
mm-hmm.
what I'd imagine it to be.
Yeah.
Another more out there theory that I've heard people talk about
mm-hmm.
is what if humans do have some innate ability that we are either gaining or have lost, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, have telepathy or to have a quote-unquote third eye to see another dimension.
Okay.
And what if DMT is, like, stimulating that part of our brain that we've lost mm-hmm. or are developing and literally letting us see another dimension somehow?
So then, yeah, then there's the other thought, right? The far out one where mm-hmm. like this is literally what it's doing.
Right.
It's literally giving us the tool to see.
And some of the stories I've heard, which I guess we'll get into, make me think it's more like that.
Oh, we don't have any more stories.
Oh, I've got a story.
Oh, okay.
So I've just okay. stories of people that I've heard that did DMT. I was listening to some comedian, Shane Moss, does a lot of DMT.
Yeah. Self-prescribed astronaut, mm-hmm. psychonaut.
And take with a grain of salt, because, you know, he's a comedian telling a story, and you can go listen to this on your own if you want, like, look up his DMT story.
Mm-hmm.
But he was describing how he would do DMT and see this purple woman
mm-hmm.
who had a... Have you seen this?
Yes, yes.
Who had a distinct consciousness, and he felt like they knew each other,
mm-hmm.
and every time he did DMT, he would see this purple woman,
mm-hmm.
and he felt, I think he said he was, like, in love with her, and mm-hmm. they had a real bond and a real connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a friend do DMT,
mm-hmm.
and he said he didn't say anything. You know, he didn't want to taint his experience, so he didn't say
right.
anything. And he said his friend saw a purple woman
mm-hmm.
who said, "Hey, say hi to Shane."
You That's
know,
crazy.
In a more elegant way,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And whether and that he's not the only person I've heard that in this other dimension they're having shared experiences, like separate people
mm-hmm.
seeing the same thing and being mm-hmm. like, "Hey, I just saw John," or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it was the same with the purple woman as well,
mm-hmm.
Or a similar thing. Somebody was on Google Images, saw somebody that looked exactly what his DMT trip was.
Right.
What the hell is that?
Right.
Looked at it, and someone was like, "Something I saw during DMT." You know,
right.
like, and so it is this crazy thing where that these ideas of shared experience kind of lend its ability to... that this is something that's static. Like, it is not unleashed by our mind. Mm-hmm. It's always there.
Right. We're just able to see it.
Yes.
Open all the windows.
It's been there.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I mean, when you think about the other way,
mm-hmm.
it's obvious that, you know, you could be misconstruing it
mm-hmm.
and, like, wires get crossed and that's why this happens. But when it's shared experiences,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, a cynic would probably just say, like, you know, or maybe a student of Jung, Carl Jung,
mm-hmm.
is just like, there's a shared consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, of course you're going to see these things because it's, like, in the ether.
Right.
I don't know. They seem awfully specific.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What if... Just spitballing now. What if humans...
spitballing.
What if we do have...
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not letting us see a different dimension, but what if humans have some kind of shared consciousness that mm-hmm. it's letting us tap into?
It might be.
And that's all it is.
It might be something shared with us all.
With just... maybe, I mean, I don't know.
And that's not all it is. I mean, you said and that's just all it
that's
is.
That's it.
That's
pretty boring.
That's incredible, right?
Yeah,
if
yeah,
that's
yeah.
if that's what it is,
yeah.
that's insane. But it does bring this... I think... thinking about it's really fun to visit the hardcore sciences
mm-hmm.
physics
mm-hmm.
you go deep enough on your YouTube rabbit holes and like keep up on your theories make
mm-hmm.
sure you know you get to string theory you're going into these quantum realms
right
and then you're just like the physicist and the person that took DMT sound like they're saying the exact same thing
yeah.
And then it really makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Is this a fundamental concept of reality?
Right.
Is this making us see what's actually there?
Right.
Because physics, as far as we've gotten, sounds almost identical.
Hmm.
So I like thinking of that, too. And this, if we're, like, taking the idea of an actual being
mm-hmm.
legitimate
mm-hmm.
and not just a mind manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I gotta have another... hippie thought. I swear okay. I'm not high or anything. But I think we talked about this a little bit ago with maybe shrooms or something. Have we done shrooms yet?
On the podcast?
Yeah. Have we talked about shrooms yet?
Psilocybin.
We did, didn't we? The church thing and the...
I don't know, guys.
I don't remember. They're all blending. But what if, you know...
I don't think we have.
2 weeks ago, last episode, we talked about how DMT is everywhere. In the plants, in this,
right.
and that.
That's another thing.
You know, what if... DMT's the way to get to this thing and like in order to communicate with us they put it in there like,
right
you know and that's their method of like communication in a sense
mm-hmm. and we know we have a minute amount
mm-hmm.
what if that minute amount granted us consciousness
mm-hmm.
and we managed to make our own
yeah right
and now give it to them
right
they found it they
right.
found the molecule give it to me. And it, you go up again in
right.
another consciousness.
Hmm.
And if it's in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly why does, raises why, a lot of questions.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Oh.
Open footsie.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just so, yeah, I love the idea that it is everywhere.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, my cynic brain is probably, you know, it's probably just some...
I know, alarms are firing right now. For me, just like, this...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't prove any of that stuff.
I know.
You know? And it just, it sounds too out there. Who knows?
I don't know. Oh, one note is that, like, I was looking on the DMT subreddit, and someone posted an image of, like, a high-resolution, colorized artwork rendition of interior of a cell.
Hmm.
Have you seen those?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're packed. This is good podcasting, everybody.
I've heard people on shrooms say that they see beings. The same beings. Little gnomes.
Little gnomes.
People talk a lot about gnomes on shrooms.
So, yeah, and then there's this idea, is this something special by DMT, or is DMT one of just the...
Well, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. But you rarely hear people talk about beings on acid.
Right.
Or on, you know, whatever. Even on ayahuasca, which is DMT, right?
It is.
And people don't necessarily, I don't think, talk too much about
that. Not as much. Yeah. But I have heard it in ayahuasca.
Yeah. Someone had a hilarious, it was some comedian story about their shroom gnome.
Really?
Like, they're just grumpy. And, like, they want to go up and talk to them, and the gnomes are just, like, pissed. That, like, oh, you can see me? Fuck. Like,
God damn it.
Yeah, like, another shroom guy, like, I just want to be left
Jesus
alone.
Jesus Christ, we're trying to just chill in here.
Yeah.
And this guy took some mushrooms, and now he can see me.
Yeah, just, like, the image of these grumpy little gnomes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's funny. I can't find it. But anyways, it's just intricate drawing of the cell.
Hmm.
And someone was like, look familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the idea of this, like, fractal thing where we're just, like,
or
seeing...
The inside of some mosques, people say,
yes.
Look like their DMT trip.
Yes.
It's these crazy color fractal...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. That's... The mosques are pretty crazy.
And it makes you wonder if that's, you know, this... I just... If religion is a thing, and people believe in higher beings,
yeah,
what's so crazy about this DMT
thing? Yeah, right.
And I don't know. I just think it's this is one of them. It's not as complex. Never mind. But yeah, it's just in. What are you looking at?
The mosques. Crazy.
Yeah.
Look at this mosque. This is good podcasting right here.
Wow.
Oh, let's flip it that
Yeah.
way.
Oh, just, yeah, that's just crazy,
just
isn't it?
Intricate colors, repeating patterns.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, did they see God or did they get a hold of some DMT?
Yeah, yeah.
These are everywhere, right?
Yeah.
They're in plants. You can smoke. We went through an exhaustive list last time of stuff that has appreciable amounts of DMT naturally occurring.
And Randall and I, are we allowed to say? We haven't said where we went to school. They're going to glean it from this. But we had to take a religion class.
Okay.
Where we basically read the Bible.
Yeah.
Most of it, half of it,
yeah.
I don't know, a good amount of it.
I don't remember.
And a lot of the experiences that they talk about are like, what if this guy somehow stumbled upon some DMT? Or what if, like...
What if he's got schizophrenia?
Yeah. There's some story of the guy looking up at the sky, and he sees these giant... cogs moving in the sky and things descending. It's like,
yeah.
Damn, that sounds like someone talking about their acid.
Yeah.
You know, and why is his you know,
oh, we'll believe that?
Valid?
Let's put it in a book and worship it?
And yet when some guy smokes DMT and then it's like, I saw God, people don't believe
it. I'm like,
but they'll believe a 2,000-year-old book.
Right. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how
I'm
we managed to get
either
political.
Is valid.
But,
or
like
political religion.
Well, I don't know where we stand on religion.
And it makes me think, you know, like you said, most people... What was it, 50-60% of them were more religious?
Yeah.
Or an 18% increase?
Yeah, 18% increase. The agnostic and atheist were increased.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, this one, I like this as a religion, if someone was started, because it doesn't ascribe, like, you can't go to a book and read a line and interpret however you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel...
Right.
What it gives you, and like based on the subjective things we read, like maybe true reality is what goodness is. You
right.
know, like it is, it's, you will do the right thing. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there's way more questions than answers, honestly.
Yeah.
But I did want to kind of set the stage. I wanted to give, you know, credence to this idea that there is this shared reality or this different reality, or that DMT is somehow unlocking something.
Another thing, gonna get political again.
Okay.
How we've talked about how certain drugs, marijuana, Schedule One, are maybe Schedule One not because of their negative effects, but because they make people think a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds all hippy dippy, but what if the government doesn't want us thinking that way?
Well, why would they?
Right.
Why would they want you to realize that your job that you go to 5 days a week is meaningless?
Right. Right. And to me, DMT is the biggest, because it's like, people aren't going to smoke DMT every day all day.
Right.
Like, and it's not like you're going to smoke DMT and get in a car crash.
No.
Probably, unless you literally smoke DMT while you're driving.
You can't even, you couldn't get to the car, or while you're driving.
Yeah.
You'd have to be driving.
Yeah, but then,
yeah.
You know, people are going to do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And so to me, this is like the most obvious where they're like, oh shit, like this
fuck,
is...
15 minutes and you now know the truth?
Yeah, like we can't have this.
Yeah.
And to me, this is the most blatant example of that. That makes me for sure like they're making Schedule 1 drugs to not let people
right.
have
right.
these experiences. Because that is a dangerous... Imagine if everybody saw fucking a shared God and stuff. And it, you know, that would be as shattering as, like, if aliens visited.
It would be.
You know, to our society.
It would be.
If people realized there was possibly another dimension.
I didn't think about that. But
it's just as crazy.
It's just as crazy, and it's all possible, guys.
It's possible, yeah.
Dude, you know.
Damn, what if we've already visited aliens? You just have to smoke DMT, man.
I mean, a lot of people say that is how you visit aliens.
Yeah.
Gosh. It's cool stuff.
It really is cool stuff. Really makes you think.
And I tried to bound most of my stuff in science. Mm-hmm. Like, these are subjective experience, but they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
papers published,
peer-reviewed. Right.
This is not just a whole bunch of people. I mean, 2,500 people is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. Do you have anything else to say?
No. DMT.
DMT.
Go smoke it.
It's everywhere. Go experience God.
Yeah.
I have to show you something that Alex sent me, but I think it's funny. But okay. Well, I will. That's it.
That's it.
All right. That's episode.
How many bars are we at?
2,100.
I think it's gonna be about an hour then.
Yeah, 22 is like lower now.
That's like an hour 15. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing podcast, I think. Okay. I liked it. That was episode 31.
Mm-hmm.
DMT.
DMT part 2?
Yeah, that's boring. Call it DMT lore or...
DM2.
Or machine elves for
machine
fun.
Elves.
I don't know.
Consciousness? Reality?
I don't know. Okay, guys. See you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening.